Welcome back to the She Said podcast with Amy and Lisa, number 33.
Let's go. What is up?
Oh, man.
Lots of good stuff?
I don't know.
I know I've learned things this week. I know I passed, just today, I was walking through Sam's, though, and like my biggest vice in the world, besides Dr. Pepper, are the Little Debbie Christmas trees. And it was so hard to pass up the double box of Little Debbie trees.
I've seen so many recipes online making stuff out of those crazy things.
I don't even
need
the recipe. Just give me the trees and I will. Because I saw a video on it and somebody said, you don't have a smoking problem, but you can go through a pack of these in a day. I'm like, that is literally the only thing I would like. I would smoke through a pack of Little Debbie's in no time.
What
the trees?
I know, but what do they taste like? I've seen them.
You've never had it?
No.
Stop.
I haven't. But I've been seeing a lot of recipes where they're throwing them in a blender and making, I guess.
Yeah, cake. See, I don't even know. To me, that would kind of mess it up a little bit. I don't need the Debbie dip. I just need the trees. I don't know. It's just this sugar, creamy cake I need.
Wow. Well, yes.
I love it.
Like, you didn't buy any.
Like, literally, no, I didn't. Because honestly, I'm the kind, okay, so if I'm going to, I know eventually I'm going to eat the box. So if I just go ahead and eat it, I'll get all the calories at some point. So I'll just eat all of them and get it out of my mind, out of sight, out of mind. We'll just do it. So I'll eat it, be done. And then I have to worry about it. I didn't, because it was a double pack. I've never bought them at Sam's before. So nope, didn't buy it. But I know I will.
Oh, you will. Today was a good day.
Before Christmas is over.
But it's coming.
Yes. I will.
I don't think I've seen them, but I've never, like, that kind of stuff just does not appeal to me.
If I bought one, would you eat one in front of me? Just
no.
Oh, my God.
No. I can't. I mean, if it's a fresh baked brownie, I'll eat it, but I would never eat a boxed.
I didn't make brownies the other night.
Boxed cake. Like, I mean, if you have to open up a plastic bag to eat it,
absolutely
probably never going to eat it.
That is so funny.
There's no way.
Oh my gosh, I can't even believe it.
Okay. Wow. Well, whatever slung you out of your truck that day that you fell out of your car, it slung me out of my house over the weekend.
Nice. Is that why you got literally a bruise on the palm of your hand?
Yes. And my elbow. It's bad. Yeah, I was coming out my back door and the next thing I knew I was 4 steps down on the concrete. Hit my face on the concrete. I thought I broke my wrist, and I'm just going to throw up BPC 157 again because we talk about it all the time.
Injected it.
Walked right in the house after I finally drug myself up and figured out how I was going to stand up after that.
Mm-hmm.
Went right in and got my 20 units, and I did 10 in my thumb, which, by the way,
probably hurt,
which it doesn't hurt in your stomach.
Mm-hmm.
And I did 10 in my thumb and I did 10 in my hip where I landed on the opposite. I landed on my right side, but my left hip was messed up.
Yeah, threw it all out.
Probably just shoved everything over. And I did an injection back there. That was at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. So 4:30 in the afternoon. By the time I went to bed that night, I was supposed to go out to dinner, but that had gotten canceled. I could barely walk to bed. I was crooked. I was struggling. And got up the next morning. Feeling pretty good compared to what I felt like the night before. Did another injection that day. I thought I was going to have to go get my wrist x-rayed because it was so bad. Now it's
you're bruised.
I'm very bruised, but I'm not. It doesn't hurt.
That's incredible. And they talk about that for repair.
It totally repairs. I mean, professional athletes have been using it for years and years and years. That's why a professional athlete can tear something in their back in 2 weeks because they go on peptides. I mean, we talk about peptides all the time. But when I went in to shoot content today with Karen, I just got another testimony for you on peptides because it has really... I mean, I'm here today walking like nothing happened and feeling like really nothing happened.
No, because I wouldn't have known it until I saw the bruise on your hand. And I've seen you limp before. So, and I had a MRI done, just a repeat on my knee because it had been a long time. And you know how I said when I fell out of my car, I felt something pop so bad. And I was like, the only thing I could think of is maybe that Baker cyst burst. I don't have a Baker cyst anymore. So I guarantee you it burst when I fell out. That's what I had popped.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
And that's like painful until it pops, right?
Yes, but my knee's still really painful. So I don't know. I just, you know, my knee's in bad shape. So,
well,
I'm just going to keep on keeping on.
Mine's in bad shape too, but it's a lot better now. You got to get back on those consistently because.
Yes, I do. And I mean, I'm telling
you. It really
you,
does make a difference.
It made such a huge difference to be on that. And me not being on it consistently, I can totally tell. There's been some shoes I've ordered to try, and a few of them, I can't even remember the brand. It's some we all get from cute shoe stores. But when I got them in, I didn't realize that the insoles had a slight lift to them. They're all sneakers because I've been looking just for cute sneakers to wear. But the insole had a slight lift to them. And I was like, okay, well, that's interesting because it kind of tilted my knee, it like tilted me a little bit. And I was like, I kind of like it. I'm not keeping them because I chose a different shoe instead. However, it made me think, I think I'm going to look for some insoles that might have a little lift to put in there because it did keep me from being so flat-footed because they're more of like a stylish sneaker. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But that's something to think about because it did, like, it's like it takes some pressure off of my knee. So I'm going to look for an insole that has a little bit of a heel lift.
That's why people always give me a hard time because when my knee was bad or when I fall, I'm always in heels. You'll never see me in flats.
Yes, I like heels. I really do.
Wedges. Makes a huge difference on my knee.
Yes,
I can't wear flats. So I could see how the lift would help because I'm telling you, I can only wear heels.
That's how people will always ask, how do you keep your calves in shape? And I swear it's from wearing heels all the time. Mm-hmm. But I've kind of gotten where I'm doing more flat stuff. So
I wish I could wear flats, but I can't. I mean, just jacks my knee up. Mm-hmm. But I do have a pair of boots that kind of have I always have block heels. I just think that's for me with somebody that falls all the time. Uh-huh. It's a little bit sturdier, apparently. And I wasn't in heels when I fell.
Stiletto.
So I have a pair of boots that have a block heel, just like all my others. But if I wear those shoes by the end of the day, my back is jacked up. Mm-hmm. And I know I walk different in them.
Yeah.
And it does throw your whole alignment off
and stick to it.
It's crazy because it does make a difference on how you feel, your body and your alignment if you wear the right stuff.
So this week I'd made a couple of posts. I went to go pick up food for Steven. I made a post about it. And it was the importance of just like keeping your head on a swivel. I think I'd ask you if you'd seen the post and you haven't. I'll keep it short. And this is something for people really to even share with your kids. I mean, especially because I went into a restaurant to go pick up some food and I just had a really weird feeling all day driving through Brookside. I just felt like, you know, we've lived there for 22 years. I'm familiar with our neighbors and you're familiar with your area. Okay. It's the way it is. And I just had a very odd feeling. Well, I pulled up to the restaurant. I had a very weird feeling. I could see inside there. There wasn't anybody in there, no customers or anything. But I was like, golly, I don't know. But I went on in there. The workers were fine. So kind. No big deal. And then within a couple of minutes, here comes a group of three kids. Ages ranges like maybe 13 to 15. Trouble. Okay. I mean, you could smell trouble off of them. Immediately, they were a huge distraction. Making noise, you know, like coming in there saying they were hungry, asking, you know, to buy their food. But it was in a very obnoxious, you know, it was better really to ignore. I was kind, you know, at first, and then it was like, you know, there's a lot of, I have spidey senses, I would say, given what my husband does, and I know my place in certain situations. Well, then you could see the worker really looking up and he was looking at me like, are you good? Because he didn't like what he was seeing. Well, then they get in a booth. They start wrestling down on the ground. We're talking on the ground of the restaurant, okay? On the floor. And another one, then one comes right next to me and stands next to me while the other ones are creating a distraction, which, I mean, all the uncomfortableness that I felt in the situation, I mean, it wasn't good. I'm like, this was what I was sensing before I walked in to watch be aware. Mm-hmm. So the man ended up telling him he said the guy came from behind the counter and he was like, you guys need to leave. This isn't welcome in here. You'll need to leave. They didn't want to listen. He ended up kind of gently placing his hands on their back. Like, you guys have got to go. You're not welcome in here unless you're eating. They mouthed them off. They walked backwards, mouthing off the worker, and he got them out of there. And even the worker said, man, something's going on. Like he had been seeing it all day, but it just reminded me like to not be walking around on your cell phone. Do not. And my husband was like, man, you're lucky they didn't like yank that jewelry off your neck, because he sees that stuff. I mean, it happens mm-hmm. more than we even realize. Mm-hmm. So
I've always been that way ever since I think because I travel so much by myself mm-hmm. and everywhere that I've always, I mean, I can tell you where they're standing. I have always had my head on a swivel.
Yes.
My neighborhood, I chase people out of the neighborhood all the time or follow them out. Mm-hmm. Like if they're sitting in front, I have people sitting in front of my house. My streets are busy. Mm-hmm. People cut through it to go to the other neighborhood. Mm-hmm. And I'll pull up. If I go home at lunch to let my dog out and there's a car sitting in front of my house and somebody's sitting in the car, I just pull right up behind them and get right up on their bumper. And then they'll notice me in their rearview mirror and then they take off and I just follow them till they leave the neighborhood. Mm-hmm. I've always done that. Like I have I have that sense. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, no, you're not up to any good. I can tell. Mm-hmm. Get out of the neighborhood. And then I'll just circle until I know they're gone. I did it mm-hmm. one time, though. A white panel van pulls mm-hmm. up. I see a guy get in the panel van, and he's been at my neighbor's across the street. So I just followed it. I'm like, well, something's up with that. Followed it all the way down up Harvard or down Harvard to like 37th, 38th in Harvard. Mm-hmm. The guy gets out at a business and it's an Amazon guy. Followed him all through the neighborhood.
Well, yeah,
chased him
now
out
all
of
these
the neighborhood.
New deliveries that are just in normal cars. Yeah. It's kind of scary. I don't like that.
I don't either.
That's caused us to have to let our guard down.
And it's always the overnight deliveries too. So you have someone on your front porch at 4 a.m. That's
I don't like that.
They do have the vest on, but their car. I had one this morning that delivered at 4:45.
I don't think they always have a vest on.
Oh, really?
Not Walmart. And, I mean,
oh,
I feel like
I'm talking Amazon. I don't know about
Walmart
the others.
Delivery or whatever.
Oh, like, really?
I'm certain I've not always seen a vest on people.
She pulled all the way up to my garage, and I'm up obviously, and I thought, what in the world? Expecting one, but you don't have to pull up to my garage. Just
yeah,
it was just weird. But I do think we always have to be on alert, because I do think there's, especially now, there's mm-hmm. too much going on. It is scary.
Very.
I would have hightailed it out of there. Like I wouldn't have stayed in there. Mm-mm. I've left so many convenience stores. When I see somebody I walk in and you sense something is off, I will get out mm-hmm. of there faster than anything, or not even go in if I see people.
And you people know, underestimate too, like that age range. They say they are so dangerous because they really don't value the consequences. Like they don't they can't weigh consequences yet. Mm-hmm. So they really are very dangerous, because I know a lot of people are like, well, they're just kids. They're like, whoa, little do they know the danger that's involved in that age range.
Can never be too careful. That is for sure.
Now, thinking of care. Well, let me tell you one other business. This didn't happen at Cava, but, you know, we love Cava on Brookside. And I'm just going to tell y'all, those workers at Cava on Brookside, we just love them. And I'm just going to tell you guys, go visit Cava on Brookside, because they are truly the kindest employees. And if y'all are regulars, you know. So I know you're not going into Cava, because
I've been to one time.
Well, the one on Brookside, they're so
kind.
I
didn't even know there was one on Brookside.
Oh my gosh, yes. It's right across from Stash.
Okay.
And anyway, so they're just so kind, and they take care of their customers, and they know their neighborhood customers. And if you're a regular, they're just very good to you.
That's always fun.
Yeah, it is. So
that's the beauty of Brookside too.
It really is. So that's it. I just had thought about that, and I'm like, well, I need to tell them they do a good job. So have you seen that thing about the hand dryers? It's not new news.
No, I've known it for a while. We just don't do it. It's like the grossest.
It's so
thing
gross.
Ever.
And I've never ever liked using them. I would rather dry my hands off on my clothes. But those Petri dishes were disgusting. Like, please do not use the hand dryers. I mean, it's so gross.
When you think about it.
Yeah. And that's why even like hotels, that Dateline special that was done going into hotel rooms, they sprayed. It was strictly to catch how dirty the hotel rooms still are. Okay. And they sprayed this glow spray on the sheets. And they did like a logo, a Dateline logo on the sheets, on the pillow, on some other things like a coffee table. Truly, like, I think the only thing that was wiped down was the nightstand. Then they rechecked back into the room, stressed to the manager how important it was, because this was even during COVID, that the room was clean, the manager, this is multiple hotels, by the way, stressed how that she had checked it herself. It was done right. It was da da da. They go back in with the glow light. The Dateline logo, 100% still on the sheets, on the pillow. I mean, the sheets had not been changed. Okay. Like, so. I think
that happens all the time.
So, like, I have this travel sheet.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, like it's a sleep sack that you put in the sheets. Like, I am not playing games. That's why I'd prefer an RV all day long.
Yeah, I did a sheet. I've always done that where you sleep in one of the little sleep sacks that it's a full length because.
I'm just sad it took me that long.
Yeah.
One lady, she taught me a long time ago, she would make towels. Like, she'd made a trail in the hotel room, a walking path with her towels. And I got in the habit of like doing that, of just walking on the towels for a path because the carpet is so disgusting.
Yeah. I've always taken house shoes with me when I travel because I will not walk on a hotel floor.
And now
it's disgusting. And I think COVID, I think it got worse because now when you go stay at a hotel for 5 days, they don't change the sheets while you're there.
No.
Not until you're gone. And then who knows if it happens then. I've changed multiple rooms by going in there going, so this gross. Is not clean.
Yeah. No. And if I see the sign of hair, like I'm out. Mm-hmm. There's not a chance I'm staying in that room.
I know. It's funny because I've traveled so much and I lived in hotels for so long with all my travel. And to think about it now, as someone that's been through all the stuff I've been through, like the thought of it at that level, it just grosses me out. I can't even imagine.
No. What are some of the things that you have for with all the holidays coming up and all the everyone that's going to be traveling and with possible layovers, which is a little scary to think about? What are some of the things that you would never be caught without in your carry on?
Well, house shoes. I mean, we just talked about that, but that I take those everywhere. I can't imagine not taking house shoes because I won't walk barefoot in a hotel. I've always taken, I say that, I used to always take it. And then the last few times I've traveled, I've forgotten it. But the sleep sack, it's a satin, you just zip in it. It's very light, so it's not heavy.
Mm-hmm.
And zip in it so you're not touching the sheets.
Mm-mm.
I take my own pillowcase. I've done that for years. What else do I travel with all the time? That helps. You know, there's all the security stuff.
Yeah.
The security lock. Secure. Mm-hmm. And then also lately I've been looking at and thinking about taking carbon monoxide detectors. They have portable now. Ones.
Yeah.
Because that's something I'm going to add to my, I have a suitcase that I just leave packed.
Yep.
That has all that stuff in it.
All the little things.
I take my coffee on my own coffee pot. I would never use a hotel coffee pot ever or their cups or their ever. Or the ice bucket.
Well, and I always bring little packets of oatmeal with me if I go in my own paper bowls. I have a little kit of oatmeal packets, my paper bowls, and my plastic spoons that I just have just because you get hungry maybe or whatever, and you need to just do some stuff in your room because I don't want their bowls or anything like that either.
No.
They have little portable kettles you can, little boiling things you can take with you.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's survival mode, man. I mean, it's a bed to sleep in. I don't care how nice you're going.
It doesn't
matter. It's just gross.
It is gross. Yeah, I have a suitcase I leave packed that has all that in it. I have a portable coffee maker, a little one, the little Nespresso that goes in my bag. If I can, I mean, I always just go buy bottled water at the front desk or they have a little snack bar. And I just, I mean, I've always done it. It just goes, I just check it at the airport and get it there because there's too many things I won't do. And bathtubs, I won't even take a bath.
Oh, heck no.
People soak in those bathtubs at hotels. No way. Uh-uh. I'm barely happy to get in the shower. And I haven't lately, but I used to take flip-flops for the shower too.
That's smart.
Because that, who knows what's in there.
Actually really smart. Well, because you know they're not cleaning it like that.
No.
Well, and that's what that lady who I would travel with, she always had a bottle of 90% alcohol spray, and she kept that with her. Like, we would go to restaurants, she'd spray the table. She would spray everything that she came in contact with, and I'm like, and actually, I love the smell of alcohol. Like, I just think it smells so good.
Of course you do.
I know. I don't know why. Like, the rubbing alcohol, I just think it smells so clean. I don't know what it is.
Yeah, it definitely does that.
But she would just spray that table and spray the arms of things. But she's the one who got me started on the whole towel thing. And but once you see it, you can't unsee it. No way.
And it doesn't even matter. Like you said, what level of hotel? 5-star, it doesn't matter. It's all gross.
Oh, yeah.
On every level.
Mm-hmm. Anything else that you can think of? I have I know that the lacrosse ball, I would travel with that to roll under your feet. Like that is so critical to me. And then I even saw more information on that recently, the benefits of rolling the ball under your feet for 5 to 10 minutes each. And it was talking about how it recharges your entire body by generating microcurrents through your whole body to rehydrate and energize the fascia that moves through your whole body. So I've always talked about how it feels like water being poured over your head. That's how I've always explained it. Mm-hmm. Well, after I heard it explained like this, it really kind of just explained to me why it felt like that. Because I always say I sleep better when I do it. I'll get more energy during the day when I do it. I did it before I came here, actually, just because I needed to kind of re-energize. But it totally makes a difference. So there's no way I would live without having a ball in my bag.
Yeah.
For sure. Just to feel better on that.
I even take my own steamer because I don't like to use their irons. Usually the irons are scorched on the bottom because people don't know how to iron their clothes. Mm-hmm. I think the ironing board probably has more germs than anything else. Yeah. If you use a steamer, you don't have to lay it flat on that nasty pad on an ironing board. So I always take, I have a steamer that stays in there.
I always bring my own fan, a little mini fan that makes noise.
Oh, for people that, yeah.
I can't stand not having a fan. And I can't stand not having the noise.
A lot of people are like that. I do it at home, but I never, it's probably why I never sleep in hotel rooms because it's not I
can't stand it being so quiet. So yeah, a little portable little mini fan works great.
That's a good idea.
I've had to use it on an airplane because we've been stuck on the tarmac for hours and it was
brutal.
So hot.
Yeah.
So, and which made me think, we watched a movie last night, Something About My Father. It was really funny. It was on Netflix last night. It was a good, it's a new one that's on there. And when he was stuck on a helicopter and he kind of had a panic attack and it reminded me of when I was stuck on the roller coaster and Steven was like, that was literally you on the roller coaster setting your panic attack. So, cause it was so hot and I couldn't breathe. And that was why I don't, to have that fan on me is critical. So.
Or noise machine. Do you ever take one of those?
Yeah, we do have a portable one of those too.
Yeah,
so
that helps.
I actually send that with Ty. If he actually goes somewhere, I'll send that with him, the little fan now.
Yeah, I don't think, I can't think of anything else. I haven't been in that suitcase in a while because I haven't traveled
Well,
somewhere.
Now I would take my red light pad.
Yes. Oh my gosh.
Now I would take a whole lot of other things. So.
Again, that thing saved me this weekend with my injury, that red light. I don't know what I did without a red light for years because boy, I sat on it. I never, like I just let it run constantly, but I do think that made a big difference. Well, I have really funny news, or funny, exciting news. Remember a couple of times ago, I talked about the new gallery test that detects over 50 different kinds of cancer before you're even probably see symptoms. Well, I was wanting to do it as someone that's 8 years. It shouldn't be at 8 years. I should be gone. I should have already had it back.
Right.
I had mentioned it when Karen was over here, I was doing a podcast with her. I mentioned it to her like, hey, because it's a pain to go out to the cancer center, like trying to get appointment in there and then just going out there is depressing and ugh. And so I said, hey, could you draw the blood? I mean, she sends blood tests off all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Could you draw the blood and we could send it off to this test? She goes, Lisa, I have no idea where to send it. I don't know anything about it. And so I got on the website and I was looking and you can actually order it on the site, but you have to go through a telemedicine. I thought, I don't know. I'd rather my oncologist read it as opposed to some guy that doesn't know me on a conference call. So I kind of let it go, but I was going to just send the website to her, which I had forgot to do. So I walk in today to film her and she goes, did you order these gallery tests for me? She has 3 gallery tests that were left for her in her office. I was so dumbfounded. Like my mouth was just wide open forever. And I was like, no, I didn't. I said, I went to the website and I was going to send the website to you, but I keep forgetting to do that. She goes, well, a rep dropped them off, had a business card of the rep, and she dropped them off. And she goes, maybe, she said, I did go out to the website after we talked about it when I was in your office. Maybe I asked for tests. And so, but she said, I didn't think I did. Well, she said, so I was like, oh my gosh, Karen, I want to do it. Like, what does it say you have to do? She goes, well, I have to call the rep and figure out. I don't know. It was just left on my desk. And so I'm just like, holy
cow. That is crazy.
I'm supposed to have this test. So she calls the rep while I'm sitting there and they have to, she can do it. And she, I guess the doctor that's in there with Karen had called about it or requested them coincidentally. within a week after me talking to her about it. It's weird. So they can now do it. They just have to set up an online portal with the lab. And so I'm going to have it done next week.
Wow.
Yeah. I'm excited, but okay, I've already exciting. Got butterflies in my stomach.
That's interesting.
Because it will tell up to 50 different kinds of cancers. And the lady on, I could hear the lady talking to her on the phone because she called her while I was there. So we'd know. And she said that it detects, you know, obviously stronger detection for aggressive cancers. Well, mine was considered aggressive. And mine doesn't have a blood work. There's no blood test right now that detects mine. That's why I have to go yearly for an exam. Because it would come back typically in the area of which the tumor was, which was my uterus. And so there's no blood work they can take at the cancer center to determine if it's spread, where this test will catch it if it's metastasized. And so she said that the slow-moving cancers like prostate cancer grows really, really slowly. She said they don't have that much success with prostate, some of the slower-growing types. But my particular cancer that I had is listed on the list of ones that they can detect.
What do we know what a test like this will cost?
It's probably going to be about $1,000.
Wow.
But I paid way more than $1,000 for treatment myself, even after insurance, with having two different kinds of insurance.
So then if you find out, so it'll detect that you
have cancer, active cancer somewhere.
Then what?
I don't know. I have to climb that mountain when I get to it. I don't know, but at least it's all about peace of mind. I told my oncologist once when I walked in there, I'm like, you know, the hardest part about recovering from cancer? And she said, no. And I said, the mind game. She goes, you know, I never really thought about that. I'm like, physically it's hard, but mentally it's a killer. And so if I can do it once a year, which you can do it annually, at least I'll know. And then I can figure out what my next steps are. Is it, I don't know. I'm already literally have butterflies. But I just like that kind of timing thing to me. It's like I was meant to do the test. Unbeknownst to what Kieran and I talked about, he ordered it. So he probably has a patient that requested or talked to him about it. And so he ordered the kits. Yeah. So they have to set up a portal. She says, so by next Tuesday, when I go in to record her and film her for her marketing, I'm going to have my blood drawn. And then it's 2 to 3 weeks after that to get the results back.
Isn't that crazy though? How two people can be so different, because like for me, I'm like, I don't want to know. Like, but you've been through it. So you're like, I need to know. I'm like,
yeah, because I probably would have been the same way if I had never had it before. Yeah. It's like, you know, just not knowing is better if I don't have symptoms. But once you've had it and you have grade 3, which is the worst kind you can have in uterine cancer, which means it's more aggressive.
Right.
It's supposed to have already spread.
Mm-hmm.
Now I've really tried hard to be healthy.
You don't even know what a Christmas tree tastes like. So yeah, you've done a good job.
I know, it's pretty sad because I have tried.
You've
really
never
hard.
Tasted Little Debbie, so
yeah, no. But still, you just want to know, because then you can, not knowing is the worst when you've already had it once, and then if it has, then you can put a plan together, whatever that plan is. I don't know what that is, because I went the chemo route the first time. And I'm 8 years out, still just trying to recover.
Apricot seeds.
Something.
We're going to get you an apricot tree in the back. We're going
to. You know, there's lots of stuff out there now that wasn't around that's not related to chemotherapy and radiation, that's natural. And so, I mean, who knows? And it may come back. There's nothing. But if it does, then at least I have a plan. I can put a plan together, where now I'm just in limbo every day with every ache and pain going, is that it? Is it back? If I cough, is it in my lungs?
I've caught word of two more people this week in their 50s that have cancer. What?
It's everywhere. Everywhere. It's in the food we eat. Think about all the processed food.
There's a new documentary out that I cannot wait. And you got to buy it or rent it on Prime. But it's called Climate Trails. And I 1000% say it will be worth everybody's time to watch. Like, I have no doubt. And it will address all of this. So I cannot wait to watch. I may watch it tonight.
I mean, and we've said it before, but Europeans and the different countries don't have it like we have it. Mm-mm. And it's in our food. It's in our air. It's in everything.
Yep.
And you can't get away from it. And so people younger and younger It's almost depressing sometimes to go on social media because it's just like one story after another. I was diagnosed with this or diagnosed with that. It's like, mm-hmm. it's overwhelming. So the fact that like tests like this are coming out now that you can be proactive.
Yeah.
And at least know and then put a plan together. It's better than finding out when it's already there and it's already spread. And now you're at the, we got to do something or you're not going to be around in 6 months. Mm-mm. You don't want that. So mm-hmm. it's just better knowing. And once you've already heard it, it's like,
yeah,
it's not as scary the second time.
No.
I remember getting on an elevator. We're out of time, but I remember getting on the elevator at the cancer center and a lady, when I was volunteering out there, and a lady was on going to treatment, and I, you know, you just strike up a conversation, and she was on her third different kind of cancer, not metastasized cancer, three different types of cancer. And she was on her third time out there for treatment for the third different kind of cancer. Obviously, she probably has Lynch syndrome or hereditary cancer, but still, three different kinds. So you think you got one beat and then another one pops up that's not even the same family, didn't metastasize. It's crazy.
Imagine. Now, I feel like we've gone way over today.
We're over. Not by much, but we are a little bit over. So.
Okay, well, we'll see y'all next week or talk.
Bye.
Bye.